They promise freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. For whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. The Bible.
You're listening to the Think Twice TV podcast.
And this was night and day different than anything I had ever experienced.
I was humbled and even embarrassed. I really felt God knocking on the door.
You know, I was an atheist and I thought that science was the right way and anything else was just silly. It was just, you know, like fairy tale really is what I thought.
God had a plan for my life. And I believe when we lose our life is when we find the life that God wants us to have.
Hola, shalom, and jambo. Thank you so much for listening. I am your hardworking host, Dan Henderson. Welcome to the Think Twice TV podcast. This episode is entitled Freedom Fighters. Now, no, we won't be hearing stories of modern warfare, but stories of freedom from our past. Michelle is a beautiful woman with a horrible past of sexual abuse. As a child, she was deeply scarred and unknowingly carried this burden with her for far too long. We'll also hear from Priscilla, a sexual abuse advocate. She'll share her story and her wisdom on overcoming sexual abuse. And I wanted to let you know about a page that we've built that's loaded with tons of resources for those struggling their way through sexual abuse recovery. You can find that at thinktwicetv.com/hopeandhelp. That's hope and help. And lastly, we'll close out the show with a different kind of freedom fighter in the heavyweights of faith, Brother Yoon's biography. Brother Yoon suffered horribly under the brutal oppression of communist China. However, he was not deterred and helped spread the Christian faith far and wide. Now, I know you're all busy people out there, so let's get right to it.
From the time I was 7 until I was 14, I was abused by someone very close to me and my family. And I carried a lot of anger and resentment and frustration and unforgiveness in my heart until I was in my early 20s. I left home when I was 14 and I moved in with my grandmother. And there she gave me a safe place to live. She taught me about Jesus. She gave me my first Bible. She told me that Jesus was not only my Lord and Savior, but that he was my friend. Then in 8th grade, I went to church with a good friend of mine, and that is where I learned about salvation and about Jesus, and that is where I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. In my early 20s, I did a Bible study called Breaking Free. That's when God called me to forgive my abuser face to face. And I will never forget that day. I was 24 years old. And I told God no, that I was not going to go in there and forgive him, that he did not deserve to be forgiven, and that he took so much of my life. And that's when I experienced God as my Heavenly Father. Because he told me that I was not going to go in there alone. And that his son died on the cross for me. And therefore, I need to go forgive. And it wasn't about setting him free. It was about setting myself free. I literally felt God carrying me in there to confront my abuser face to face. And I looked him in the eyes and I told him that God was calling me to forgive him and that he had taken all my younger years, but that I was not gonna let him have any more, and that I truly forgave him and that I was turning him over to my Heavenly Father. And I walked out of there knowing that I didn't really understand the importance then, but I knew I felt a freedom, I felt a peace through forgiving my abuser. I not only experienced God's grace, Jesus dying on the cross from my sins, but I also found freedom and confidence and strength to live my life well and to love others well. So after 22 years of going to North Point, I finally joined a small group, and we started doing the Bible study, the Fruit of the Spirit. And I was still hurting from my abuse, even though I'd forgiven. I had not allowed Jesus to come in and heal my wounds. And I invited him in to heal my wounds, and he did. This is where I have truly gotten a glimpse of God's goodness. I can look at my abuser for the very first time in his eyes, and I feel sorry for him, that he does not have the freedom that I am living in every day. I would like to thank my husband, my children, my grandmother, my small group. My name is Michelle Johnson. Jesus is my Lord and Savior.
My name is Priscilla, and most people know me as a motivational speaker and a worship director. But one of my favorite things that I get to do is I get to share my story of the power of forgiveness and the power of redemption. I say the power of forgiveness because I had to walk the story and the definition of forgiveness out through my personal story. You know, I grew up in a family where sexual abuse and incest was really, really high and very, very hidden. And so it definitely took a toll on me personally and in my family. And by the time I was 12 years old, I had already been molested by two family members. And then when I turned 12, I ended up being raped by my father, who was a pastor. And so it was very, very confusing for me to understand who God was and what Christianity really meant while all of these things were going on behind closed doors. And it wasn't until I was in a youth camp, my eighth grade year, where I heard a sermon on forgiveness and how powerful it was. And I decided right then and there that I wanted to forgive my father and my mother because there were things that she did out of fear and out of insecurity where she wasn't able to give her kids what they needed at the time. And so I made the decision to forgive both my parents across the board because I wanted to set myself free. And I know that forgiveness is available for every person. You know, not every situation turns out like mine did. I did make the decision to forgive my parents. I'm able to have, not a necessarily a normal father-daughter relationship the way God intended, but I'm able to be in the same room with him and I'm not affected by it. Statues of limitation had been lifted in my situation. You know, I stand in the gap for many, many girls as an advocate right here in Ingham County. You know, it's something I do as a volunteer. I don't get paid for it, but I come alongside girls who've been sexually abused who are now in my situation that I was in years ago, and I wasn't able to stand up and protect my family in the way that I should have. I lied to the judge to protect my family because I was scared. I didn't know what my life would look like. You know, there was already so much change in my family, and I don't know. I made the decision that I didn't want to live my life based on what I was seeing around me. I mean, most of my family, they're drug addicts, they're alcoholics, they have a huge lack of education, and I just knew what I didn't want for my life. And so I knew that the way that, in order for positive change to take place, was to get a good education. I'm the first to get a college degree in my family, but I also knew that it was going to be through the presence of God and the Holy Spirit. And He has led me every way by providing amazing people in my life to speak into my life, to protect me, but also giving me the resources of who He is through His Word. And so by choosing to forgive, I set myself free and I set myself up to receive all that God had for me. And so as hard as it is, I know forgiveness is not easy and it is a process. It's not an overnight thing, but I just encourage girls and guys, if they've been a victim of sexual abuse, there is hope. And I believe that hope is a person and His name is Jesus. It doesn't matter what the situation is. You do not have to remain a victim. That situation doesn't have to define you as a person. And there is so much more that God intended for your life than that situation or thing that happened to you. You are more than that thing. If you've been hurt by sexual abuse, I definitely encourage them to find somebody that they can trust, find an advocate. We have plenty of advocates here. They can even reach me personally and privately through, you know, they can reach me through my website, which is PriscillaBordeo.com. They can email me and send me a message, and I'd be happy to like help them through the process of going through the court system. They can also go and file a report right there in the city as well. Like, it really comes down to what are they most comfortable with. And I feel like finding someone that you trust first and getting someone to come alongside you so that you don't feel alone is the most important key. Because sometimes you get so intimidated by the process that you start and then you withdraw because you don't have somebody that can encourage you through this entire, like, it's such a journey. It's not an overnight thing. You know, the court system is tricky, and it's not a short process. It's a long process, and it's a difficult process, but it's a process that can bring you so much healing. And so I just encourage people to reach out to someone that they trust. And if they don't know someone, I would, again, highly encourage them, go talk to a pastor, get involved in a church, go talk to a counselor, seek a counselor and a psychiatrist, someone that can truly guide and protect you and give you more advice on how to go from there. That's just the first step to take. Get somebody that you can trust, and there are many, many resources out there.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Heavyweights of the Faith, brief biographies of great believers who changed the world.
Brother Yun was born in February 1958 in the province of Henan, China. In 1974, his father became ill with lung cancer. His mother, who had been a Christian for many years but had become spiritually cold after the expulsion of Western missionaries during the Cultural Revolution, felt a deep sense of desperation because if her husband had died then, it would leave the family in dire straits. She thought of committing suicide. One evening as she was lying in bed, she heard a voice saying to her that Jesus loved her. In tears and in repentance, she rededicated her life to God and gathered her family to pray for her husband. The next morning, her husband got better, and as a result, everyone in the family, including Brother Young, put their faith in God. Brother Young was 16 when he became a Christian. Soon after, he hungered for the Word of God. However, his family did not have a Bible. He began asking his mother who Jesus was. In response, his mother would tell him that Jesus was the Son of God and that he had recorded all his teachings in the Bible. Brother Young wanted a Bible, and his mother recalled that there was a man in another village who had one, so she brought him to see the man. The man was too afraid to show Brother Young his Bible, so he suggested that he could pray and ask God for one. Brother Young decided to fast and pray for a Bible. For the next 100 days, he ate only one bowl of steaming rice every day. One day at 4 a.m., after fasting for 100 days, he saw a vision. In his vision, he was walking up a steep hill and trying to push a heavy cart at the same time. He was heading toward a village where he intended to beg for food for his family. He struggled greatly as he continued to climb up hill. The cart was about to roll back and fall on him when he saw three men walking down the hill in the opposite direction. One of them was a kind old man, and he was pulling a large cart of fresh bread. When the old man saw Brother Young, he asked him if he was hungry. He said yes and started crying. The old man then took a red bag of bread from his cart and asked his two servants to give it to Brother Young. As he put the bread into his mouth, it immediately turned into a Bible. Upon waking up, Brother Young began to search for the Bible. His search, however, was in vain. All of a sudden, he heard a faint knock on the door, and someone was calling out his name. Immediately, he recognized the voice. It was the same voice that he had heard in the vision. He quickly opened the door, and standing in front of him were two servants he had seen in his vision. One of them held a red bag in his hand. In this red bag was a Bible. Brother Young began to devour the Word of God. Even though he could hardly read, this did not deter him at all. When he had finished reading the entire Bible, he started to memorize one chapter a day. In 28 days, he had memorized the Gospel of Matthew. Then, he went on to memorize the book of Acts and continued this process. He was arrested by security police numerous times and was thrown into prison 3 times for sharing the gospel in communist China. When Brother Yun was arrested the first time, he was only 17 years old. At that time, he was ministering at a meeting far away from home. After he was caught, he was thrown into a freezing cold prison cell. There was no heat in the cell, and his winter coat had been thrown into the snow by a security policeman who had caught him. He began to sing Psalm 150 aloud. The more he sang, the more he was filled with joy. Gradually, his frozen hands and feet regained feeling, and he no longer felt cold. During those times when Brother Yun was in the hands of government officials, he was repeatedly beaten and tortured with electric batons and had needles jabbed underneath his fingernails. Brother Yun's imprisonments were a very dark period in his life. The prison guards beat his legs to cripple him permanently. They had beaten him every day, even in his crippled state. One day, God instructed him to escape from the prison. On May 5th, 1997, he miraculously walked past dozens of guards and right out of the maximum security prison. It was as if he had become invisible to the guards. He did not even realize that his legs were miraculously healed until later. Throughout all the horrendous and painful experiences that he went through, the word of the Lord kept coming to him, encouraging him, and strengthening his faith. Brother Yun eventually escaped China and sought asylum in Germany in 2001. Since then, he has been continuing his ministry from there and has spoken to congregations internationally. Brother Yun's life and ministry have impacted many lives. Thousands of people have become Christians through his ministry. Brother Yun's childlike faith and his prompt obedience to God's call are a constant encouragement to all.
Special thanks to Inspirational Christians for use of their written biographies. Please visit inspirationalchristians.org for more biographies and articles.
Hearing stories like these really offer perspective and remind me if Michelle and Priscilla can overcome, then so can I. If Brother Yun wasn't afraid to share Jesus when facing violent police, then what do I really have to complain about? Lastly, a few years ago I produced my first legit short film. It's called Forgotten Hope, and the plot reads, a young woman looking for the next party accidentally overhears a child alluding to sexual abuse. Travel with her as she faces her demons to uncover her own forgotten hope. It stars our friend, the beautiful Faith Hodge, and you can see it free at thinktwicetv.com/forgottenhope or look on our YouTube channel under playlist for Forgotten Hope. Well, thank you so much for listening. Would you share this podcast with somebody and help us reach more people? As always, I'd like to leave you with a Bible verse. This is from Isaiah 40:31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint.